Welcome to this journalism.co.uk podcast. I'm Paul McNally. This week, how to further your journalism career by working abroad.
Having an overseas job on your CV, in terms of journalism, it shows that you're prepared to move wherever for the job.
All you can do is as much research as you can and just be aware of how much you don't know.
Working abroad has made me realise that the market is huge. There's no need to just focus within the boundaries of your own country. You can pick up work from anywhere.
When I took this first job, it was like to prove to those people that they want to hire me that, yeah, I can write English.
It's really, really important to have a really good working knowledge of the language of the country you're in.
If I was a little younger, I would have to move to China as a journalist, as a correspondent. I wouldn't even recommend for people now to come to the United States.
Six people, six different career paths. The thing they all have in common is they've moved abroad for their work. Maybe you've been dreaming of pursuing your journalism career overseas, but you don't know where to start. We'll be asking our guests about how they found their jobs, why they moved, how to make it a success, and whether they think it's made them a better journalist. And we'll start with a man who made the move 25 years ago.
I just was ready to pack, and it was a typewriter at the time.
Jürgen Kalver moved from West Berlin to New York in 1989. He found America very accommodating to foreign journalists.
The surprise that I had when I came here, starting to work as a journalist with really no credentials. I mean, people don't know anything about foreign publications, which I worked for, mainly magazines at the time. So they just trust you that whatever you say, you know, I'm a journalist, I work for so-and-so, is correct. And what they often would say is, when you introduce yourself, well, how can I help you? I grew up in a media culture where you were even working for a known magazine, let's say, and you called somebody up and you told him or her who you were and tried to figure out how to talk to that person. And often the first answer was, why do you want to know? So in Germany, in the communication culture of at least the 70s and 80s and probably the early 90s, I don't know about today, it was really formed by the idea that you had to justify your curiosity and your interest. By and large, in the United States, you find a general openness regarding journalists and people who want to know. My level of English was pretty good, but my sense of self was not. So I felt really insecure, and when I went into interviews, I had notes. I basically had scripts, like telemarketing people, to kind of not get lost. Even though my main interest would have been to start up a conversation that would have a free flow. I didn't want to struggle. I didn't want to show that I was not as good as I am now.
From a veteran correspondent to a recent graduate, British journalist Sophie Dolson moved to the Falklands this summer to work for a local TV channel. She explains how she found the job.
Actually, it was probably my lecturer that veered me towards the advert for the job, and I thought, you know what, why not? I'll give it a go. It's something that's totally out of the ordinary. I knew that international journalism and travel was something that I wanted to do and implement as part of the job. So as soon as it came up and I got accepted, I was like, brilliant, it looks like I'm going to the Falkland Islands to work. The gentleman that owns the station actually came out to the UK to meet me for an interview, interviewed me, was happy with my interview process, and then offered me the job on the spot, really. And naturally, when you're moving away somewhere, there's always going to be those reservations and those nerves instantly that you get where you're thinking, will I enjoy the job? Will I enjoy the country? What will it be like? So there's a lot of question marks hovering over the application itself. And obviously when I got there, they all became answered quite quickly. And it is the most welcoming place I think I've ever visited. And it's probably more British than Britain, which is quite an unusual thing, really. It's its very own little world, the Falklands. When I first initially took the job, the end was always in mind. I always knew I was here for a 6-month contract. However, that's really changed since I've been here, because now it feels like the days are flying by, the months are flying by, and I've actually now extended my contract for an extra month. I'm thinking I need to get so much done before I leave here, because I've got a massive bucket list of things that I want to cover and do. Previously, before I came to the Falklands, I spent just over a month in South Africa reporting. So I knew instantaneously that this is something that I wanted to do. I wanted to report internationally. I wanted to report in different countries. So that settled my mind a little bit. But I'd say that having an overseas job on your CV, I mean, a lot of people will have it, but I think in terms of journalism, it shows that you're prepared to move wherever for the job, which is a crucial and vital skill to kind of have on your CV if you are going into journalism. And for me, it brings another culture. It's something I'm learning, something else that I didn't previously know. Obviously, if you stay within the same suburb in the same region, you're limited to an extent. If you venture out and travel across the globe, it's only going to enrich your knowledge of the world and different cultures and different stories and different people. Before you move to any country, learn the country's culture first and foremost, study it as much as you can, so that when you actually move over there, it doesn't all come as a massive shock to you, the way that they are or that their rituals or religion, etc. It's really important to just kind of learn and understand the culture of any country that you might visit. And likewise, if you can try and build bridges before you actually travel. So if you know of an area that you might be particularly visiting or wanting to cover a story on, perhaps start building connections and contacts earlier before you even get there. So when you do get there, you've got your foot in the door already. But above anything, I think it's just important to just dive in with 2 feet and throw yourself into the job and the role. And only good can come from that. I think if you're optimistic and hopeful and keen to learn, then travelling overseas and working as a journalist overseas is something that you'll absolutely love.
Cécile Brisson lost her job when the newswire she was working for in Paris closed 2 years ago. She decided to take the plunge and become a journalist in London. Now she's taking a broadcasting course at City University, and she says she found British employers to be very flexible.
Just before the liquidation, I had prepared my resume in English, because I knew that I wanted to find a job in England. And when the liquidation was pronounced, I clicked send. I had the first job interview over Skype while I was still in Paris. And then I moved to London in January 2013. British media advertised for the vacancies that they need to fill. Whereas in France, you have zero job ads. You never find any job ad for a journalist in France. Everybody was fine with my qualifications. They didn't ask for anything specific. And actually, my first job, where I was to cover IT for ships and investment in ports, they didn't even expect me to know about finance or to know about ships, or like, they didn't want somebody who knew already everything about the maritime world. I don't exactly know how people get into jobs in France, because what happened for me was when I was at university, one of my teachers wanted somebody for a summer job, and he picked 2 other students. And that's how I was hired by AP. So I never had to go through the process of looking for a job in France, going to job interviews. Actually, I had been working for AP for 6 months when they said, oh, by the way, we don't have your resume. I would say British employers believe a lot in transferable skills, whereas French employers will want you to have covered the subject before. They don't bet on you. Whereas here, I have the impression that a lot of people think, if you can do that, you will be able to do this. When I took this first job, it was like to prove to people who didn't want to hire me that, yeah, I can write English. And you know what? Usually my spelling is much better than English speakers.
Jeremy Lai is an Australian political and conflict journalist. He's reported from the US, Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Mexico, Honduras, and he now works in Canada. His advice to would-be journalism globetrotters: be prepared, know your area, and be aware of your responsibility.
It was just something that was part of my very early childhood development, which was travelling. It's just something I'd always assumed I'd be doing. I didn't actually do it until I hit 30. Probably one of the most important things the idea of having some responsibility to what you're covering and who you're covering, all that sort of stuff. This idea, and it's quite prevalent in North America, of, you know, the journalist being the sort of neutral fly on the wall who's a silent observer who just soaks everything around them and writes a fair and balanced story. I think that's largely mythical. And reporting in a country like that, or a region like that, you become very aware very quickly that you're not neutral. You do have an impact. People will act accordingly because there's a journalist there, especially a foreign journalist there. You've also got to, I think in many ways, be very careful that what you report will also have an impact on how things are. It doesn't matter how fair or how neutral you are, it's going to have an impact. You can try and brief yourself up as much as you can. In my case, I spoke to a couple of journalists in Latin America beforehand just to sort of counter that. But I think all you can do is as much research as you can and just be aware of how much you don't know, or there is probably a lot you don't know. Be very careful what you write. And do try to get some sort of training. There is, if you're speaking about conflict reporting, there is training out there for people to do it and do it in a way that's responsible. So try and do as much as that as you can. Probably the biggest, wouldn't say enemy, or the biggest problem I had as far as people were concerned weren't those, you know, dreadful gangs or the militias or the death squads or whoever it was at the time, but it's other journalists, sloppy journalists who didn't do their work, who put other journalists in danger. I don't want to see those people out there in the field. And if anyone who wants to go to these countries can do something about taking themselves out of that category, I would really appreciate it next time I'm there.
So who's hiring at the moment? Al Jazeera English, Dow Jones and Bloomberg frequently have job ads for overseas journalists. Another operation that's built up a small team of English-speaking journalists across 9 countries in Europe is The Local. It's a network of English news sites that started in Sweden 10 years ago. Co-founder James Savage gives us some insight into who he's hired.
Mostly Brits, I have to say. Quite a few Australians, Americans. We have over the years had quite a lot of people of more or less a sort of dual nationality, sort of half one thing, half another. So a lot of these people with one foot in both countries. It's important also to be able to interview people in the language of the country you're in. In some countries like Sweden, for instance, where pretty much everybody speaks really good English, that's not quite so important, but it helps. But if you're in even Germany and certainly France, you can't just call people up and expect them to speak English. So it's really, really important to have a really good working knowledge of the language of the country you're in. But it's also equally important for us that you that the people who work for us write English as native speakers. So they don't have to be native speakers, but if they're not, then they have to develop their English to such a level that a reader couldn't tell that they weren't. We do recruit quite a lot of people from the UK, and certainly we find that people with a local news background in the UK fit in very well to our way of working. A lot of that, people with local news backgrounds have that knowledge of human interest stories. They have that feeling for human interest stories, which are a big part of what we do. And sometimes that's a better fit than people who've got, say, a news agency background, where there's a lot of high politics and economics and business. One of the things that we try and do is get people to go out for drinks with their colleagues, to go up to meetup groups. There are, in all these countries, there are tons of expat groups. And that is a way of, even if you don't really want to live in the expat community in the long term, and I don't think that it's probably healthy not to, but it's quite a good way of just realizing that there are other people who are experiencing or have experienced the same kinds of frustrations and issues that you've had to deal with, bureaucracy, the different ways of, the different ways of being in these different countries. And, to have that, to have someone there who can confirm that you're not completely mad. There's nothing wrong with you.
It doesn't always go to plan. Tim Glyn Jones took a one-year contract to work for a media group in Qatar. He learnt a lot, made some good friends, but moved back 6 months early. He explains more.
I've always fancied working abroad and just seeing what it's like working in a foreign culture and a foreign work setting. So I didn't want to go and just, you know, go and join the local expat club and spend all my weekends with expats and, you know, basically try and recreate a piece of England in Qatar. Whereas I think people who are there long term, and I completely understand this, who go with their family generally end up in compounds which are, you know, perfectly set up for family life, especially the kind of Western family life. I think if I was going there with my family on a long-term basis, I'd probably have done that as well. I did end up working for a really difficult client. I mean, the vast majority of people that I met there were really nice people. And there was something about being in a culture where you're away from home, and most people are away from home from all different you know, ethnic backgrounds and nationalities, is that it does give you this kind of bond. And I found that a really enriching experience. So, you know, I wouldn't give that up for anything. And I also think on a personal level, I do feel like I've been through something that has broadened my experience, given me confidence, and also probably opened my eyes to the possibilities around the world. I think, you know, when you spend your career in one country, you always tend to focus on that country for your next job or what have you. Working abroad has made me realize that the market is huge, and you know, there's no need to just focus within the boundaries of your own country. You can pick up work from anywhere, really, and somewhere like Qatar, you know, with the wealth it's got, the opportunities there at the moment are much greater than they are in the UK. Don't go with any preconceptions. Don't go thinking that you're going to impose everything that you know on the environment that you walk into. I think you've really got to learn, and you know, it can take 2 months to really understand the culture that you're working in. I say really understand it. Probably takes years to really understand it, but to adjust to the expectations and the restrictions that you're working under. So an open mind is definitely the most important thing.
If these journalists' experiences of being a reporter in a foreign country have got you thinking about a move, where should you be looking? Back to Jürgen Kalver, our German correspondent in New York. He reckons aspiring correspondents should be looking east.
If I was a little younger, I would have to move to China as a journalist, as a correspondent, and work myself into that. I wouldn't even recommend for people now to come to the United States, because it will not be as fascinating and interesting to know much about what's going on in the United States, you know, during the next 2 years. If you are interested in something like I was, you know, many years ago, I would say you would have to pick the map and look at the places. And I would say, you know, you have to go to China and report on what's going on there. I know it's not easy. The language is really difficult. The culture of these people regarding journalists, of course, is very difficult. You might actually be kicked out if you do your job well. You know, I think that's what people in the rest of the world need to know and need to understand, what's going on in China. I feel privileged in many ways. I mean, number one, that I, you know, had a good chance to move to a different country and kind of start on a good platform. That the country that I went to, you know, was much more open and willing, as I indicated, and willing to basically help, you know, to provide me with information and story ideas. But the media industry and its changes probably also mean that people like me had a much better time than people than the next generation might have. I'm not sure. I'm not predicting anything, but I feel blessed, really.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.